My dear friends in Christ, as I had stated, the message for this morning is from the gospel lesson. And I'm just going to read to you one verse. That's the last verse, but we'll read others as well. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." And news about him spread quickly all over the whole region of Galilee. What comes to your mind when you hear the word authority? Well, I have to say that really there's two different definitions that come into my mind when I hear the word authority. The first one would be a person or some sort of source that is knowledgeable or has an extensive knowledge in a certain field, okay? For example, let's just suppose that you have a computer that is absolutely full of viruses. Now, where would you go with it to get it fixed? You're not going to bring it to me, that's for sure. Okay. I could pray over it. Probably won't do much good. Probably what I would do, because this is what I like to do with mine, just throw it across the room into the wall, you know? Those things drive me up a wall. Or would you bring it to someone who, you know, plays around with computers, knows a little bit about computers to try to fix it? You might, but chances are it won't get fixed. Maybe it'll even be messed up more. No, you're going to take it to someone who is an authority on computers, someone who has extensive knowledge on those computers, someone who will then be able to find those viruses, extract those viruses so that your computer will work again. And by the way, if you ever find someone like that, please tell me because I really need one at this point. It's interesting that in today's gospel lesson, we're told that Jesus is an authority. I don't know if you picked it up or not when Ruth read that gospel lesson, but he said, he went to Capernaum, that was his home base, by the way, and when the Sabbath came, he went into the synagogue, and this is what we're told. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. What in the world does it mean that he taught as one who had authority? Well, okay, let me try to explain. When I prepare for a sermon, believe it or not, I really don't do this off the cuff. Okay, I have to study the scripture lesson, the context in which this lesson is. I have to try to go back sometimes into the original language to find the nuances of certain words. I also have to read what some commentators have to say about the scripture passage. And then maybe, just maybe, I might have half of it right, okay? All right? That's what I have to do. And I'm considered an authority in scripture because I've studied theology. Jesus didn't have to do that. When he taught the scriptures to those people, he was an authority. He already knew exactly what they meant. And you know why? Because he is the Son of God, God himself. We know that the scriptures are the inspired word of God. God inspired the writers to write what they wrote. Christ, second person of the Trinity, he also is involved then with the Father and the Spirit in the inspiration of the scriptures, he automatically knew what these scriptures are. He didn't have to go and look at all the different sources and try to figure it out like the rest of us have to do. And that was something new for them. But there was also something else too. Because you see, he proved that he had authority because he backed up all of his teachings with miraculous signs. He healed the sick, the deaf, the dumb, the lame. He raised the dead back to life. In this lesson, we see him driving out an evil spirit. Now, have you ever seen me do that? No, nor will you ever, okay? But Jesus did. Because he is God. And his people saw the works that he did. You know what? They knew he was the authority. They knew that what he was teaching them concerning those different passages that he was teaching about, that they were true. They had to be true because he was special. Very special. He was the Son of God. And I tell you, I think that this has a real impact on us. Is it not true that Jesus has a great deal to say to us about certain subjects? For instance, that as we believe in him, he really does forgive all of our sins. Doesn't he have to say something about the fact that, you know, when everything seems to be falling apart in our lives, that he is our good shepherd and that he leads us to, you know, green pastures, to still waters. He restores our soul. Doesn't he say to us that he will take the burden that crushes us from us? And doesn't he also say there that ultimately, he works all out for our good. And that really, that no matter what happens, we're going to have eternal life. You know what? He says those things. And then he says, look, in everything, first and foremost, please bring it to me first. Lay it before me. Now, I'm going to ask you this. How many of you take it to him first? I like this. I'm not the only person then. I never do. Okay? With sin, you know, what do? I just, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I just obsess on it. When things are going wrong, what do I try to do? I try to fix them on my own. Okay? When things are not going right, I keep on telling God too, you don't know what you're doing. You know, we tend to be independent people, don't we? We are independent. We feel we have to fix everything. And that's really because of our own pride, our own ego. We don't like the idea of trusting someone else. And yet, here we have Jesus, our loving Lord and Savior. And he says, just bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring your sin. Lay it before me. I forgive you. In the mess of your life, bring it all to me. I'm your shepherd. I will give you rest in the mess of it all. Listen, I'm with you. Just trust. I'm working it all out for your good. And even in the face of death, I'll give you eternal life. You know, if we would only go to him first, wouldn't it be so much easier? Wouldn't there be a sense of comfort and peace instead of guilt and worry and anxiety and fear and despair? I just don't understand why I can't get that through my head. Now, there's another definition for authority. Authority also means power. Okay? For instance, if a government official has authority, that means he or she has power over me. I'm supposed to obey the law. Okay? I think a lot of us, I don't know about you, but many people, including me, I don't like authority. Okay? I don't like to be told what to do. All right? Especially government officials. Okay? Especially even church officials. What do they know? They don't know anything. All right? We buck at authority. We don't want to have to follow other people. And you know what? We're told here that Jesus has that kind of authority. It's interesting because in that lesson, it said that there was one who was troubled by or possessed by an evil spirit. The spirit saw Jesus. He cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth, what do you have to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I think it's rather interesting that the demons, the spirits, the evil spirits, they know who Jesus is. So many of us, or not us, but so many people reject that, but they knew who he was. And then Jesus, just like that, said, "Be quiet." Wouldn't that be great if you could do that with your kids and they'd actually listen? They don't, but be quiet. Then he ordered that spirit to leave, and the man convulsed. The spirit left, and he was healed. This Jesus has authority. This Jesus has power. But you know what? He uses his power in a much different way than people in this world. He uses his power to keep his promises. You see, when he says, "I forgive you," he has the power to forgive you because he won that power by his crucifixion and resurrection. When he says, "I love you, and I will be your shepherd, and I will lead you and guide you, and I have everything in control, so everything will be okay," he has the power to make that happen. And he does, because he defeated sin, death, and the devil. When he says to you and I, "Fear not, for you have everlasting life," it's true. He has that power. He gives us eternal life because he defeated the grave by his resurrection. Friends, Jesus has authority over all, because it was he who went to that cross to defeat sin and death and the devil for you and for I and for all of mankind, so that we could have life with him. May God grant each and every one of us that we realize the authority of Jesus. That what he says is true because of who he is. And may God grant that we believe that he keeps everything that he says, because he has the authority, the power to do so. Look, he loves you so much. Look at what he did. He leaves the glory of heaven to come to this world, okay? As a human being, He who knows no sin, he is tempted in every way like you and I are, but he never sins. And we all have different temptations, don't we? Can you imagine what that must have been like? And then he who never sins became sin for us. He knows what guilt is because he took the sin and the guilt upon himself. And then what does he do? He says, to the cross. To the cross. So that I can suffer that punishment you and I deserve because of our sin and our place for us. When he suffered, when he bowed his head, when he died, he defeated sin, death, and the devil for you and for me, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us so much, he just wants us to be his. We can trust him because of that love. And we can know that he will use his authority, his power, for the best for us because of that love. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Amen.